It's been a minute, fam, and we have a lot to catch up on, this time on Fire Footwear. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Fire Footwear. As always, I am your host, Matt Freights. I hope that this finds you well. And as always, I want to thank you for sticking with me. This has been an interesting time in my life. For those of you who are not aware, my day job has been interesting since January of this year. And that's not to get into why it's been interesting. Let's just put that it's been interesting. And if you live in the United States, I think you probably understand what I mean by that. And honestly, as well, I have been focused on making some other content, like I said the last time. And now that we're getting back into sneakers a little bit, we're getting toward the end of the year, I find myself getting back a little bit to looking at these topics, looking at what is going on, and I want to talk about some things. So it's been a minute since we've had an episode. I think it's been 3 weeks now. As I'm recording this today, the day it is going to release, Monday, October 13th, I'm sitting up here in the studio, cup of coffee, and I'm ready to talk about some things. So there's three things that I want to get into this week. It's going to be a little bit longer of an episode potentially, so just bear with me and we'll make the best of it. The first thing that I want to talk about is Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny has made headlines recently because he was chosen to be the headliner for the Super Bowl halftime show. That has caused a big stir here in the United States for reasons that are not really related to his music or his popularity. It seems to be politically motivated, and that's kind of unfortunate because the Super Bowl in and of itself, football, really isn't something that I want to be politicized. I feel like sports is one place where we all kind of go to if we're a sports person to get away from the realities of everyday life and all that. But it's kind of the world that we live in, and you can't really do much about it. But when it comes to Bad Bunny, he's had a great sneaker run, in my opinion. He has been with Adidas the entire time that I've known him to be a part of this culture. And while now his collaborations are going somewhat under the radar in the sense that he's not making big, huge headlines in the space because the collaborations have become what I would consider really, really solid. He has had collaborations in the past that should have been considered for Sneaker of the Year. Some of them may have been. It just seems like the work that he is doing in everything that he does continues to be consistent, continues to be good. When it comes to the NFL Super Bowl, I think that people now forget that the Super Bowl has become an international event. Yes, football is a decidedly American sport and it is played almost exclusively in the United States. But in reality, the Super Bowl is viewed by millions, if not billions of people nationwide. But the Super Bowl is viewed by so many millions of people across the entire world. And when the NFL is deciding to choose who they want to be their halftime performer these days, in today's world, social media, clicks, popularity, so much of that drives all of the decisions. And it even is going to get into some of the stories we're going to talk about later on. So when the NFL is thinking about who can we get to not only entertain, but who can we get to drive new viewership? And Bad Bunny, with his, I think, 80 million Instagram followers, is going to do exactly that. He does not sing in English, that is true, but his music is catchy, and also, again, he brings with him a large following. And more exclusively, he brings with him the kind of followers that the NFL is sorely lacking. I think almost every major sport in the United States is facing the same issue. It is that their viewership and their fandom is getting older. Getting younger people to watch sports is harder and harder these days because our attention spans, even at my age, continue to dwindle. And so when the NFL is looking at how can we get more people to watch our product, even if it comes from just having them view during a halftime show, they're going to go and find people that move the needle internationally, move the needle with demographics that they struggle in, and more importantly, move the needle with younger people. In order for major sports, which ask us for hours of our time every single week or sometimes multiple times a week, in order to age gracefully, in order to survive, they are going to need to get younger people to watch the product. It's not all in a halftime show. Those of us who are parents who watch sports will no doubt pass on our fandom or our love for a particular sport. But the halftime show is a huge way and a huge boon for the NFL to be able to get new people to watch the Super Bowl, and therefore hopefully cast a net that will catch new viewership for the following year. Remember when Taylor Swift came on the scene, and remember when they were showing her on television a lot? Older NFL fans here in the United States did not like that because it wasn't football and all these different things. But one thing that Taylor Swift did by being shown on television at these football games was get younger female viewers to the NFL product. I would grant you that a mass amount of them did not stay, but the ones that did stay are new fans, new streams of income for the NFL, and that's what they're looking for. From a sneaker perspective now, Bad Bunny has an opportunity here because we know that the Super Bowl is in February. It is currently October. There's a lot of lead up time there. I could see some really fun sneaker related topics coming up at the Super Bowl. Is Bad Bunny going to wear a new collaboration? Are they going to do a shock drop? Is he going to debut something new? Are they going to drop something new during the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl? It's going to be fun to kind of watch how that goes, because with the mass appeal that he has and with being able to really stretch so many different genres, keep in mind he was a WWE wrestler at one point, he has so much appeal and he has so much energy to him that I feel like people are going to gravitate toward him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that going forward, especially in the sneaker market. Like I said, he has a lot of collaborations with Adidas now. Not all of them have set the world on fire, but I think you can say that most of them are extremely consistent and extremely quality. And to me, that's what you're looking for when it comes to long-term collaborations with brands. What he does in the future should be interesting. Does he stay with Adidas? Does he try to move to a new brand to try to do something new, kind of like the way Nigo did working with Nike now? I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. And that's the first story that I kind of want to hone in on, because I've seen a lot of topics. I've seen a lot of people talking about it as it relates to, again, American politics. But to me, it comes down to popularity and it comes down to viewership. And that's what I think is interesting for the NFL. The other story that I wanted to talk about was Tom Sachs. And Tom Sachs has been associated with sneaker culture for quite a while. I think it's hard to argue that the Mars Yard series, specifically the 1.0 and 2.0, and the general purpose shoe have had a real impact on sneaker culture over the years. The two Mars Yard iterations are some of the most hyped shoes in the resale market nowadays. If you have them, it's really a status symbol. And I think there's something to be said about that, because I do believe that in sneakers, certain shoes, they have a status to them. And when you have the original, when you were able to get them at the time that they released, that does set you apart for a lot of sneakerheads. Now, for me, I think it's cool, but I don't define myself as a sneaker person based off of what I have in my collection now. To me, I think it has to do with the connections that I make. But the Tom Sachs shoes, the Mars Yards, and even the general purpose shoe to an extent do represent really this niche in sneaker culture that I think gets people really talking. So last year, when all these announcements were happening related to what 2025 was going to look like, it was obvious that Nike specifically was going down the rabbit hole of making 2025 the year of the grail, or as I would say, the year of the unicorn. There have been so many drops this year, we have two more months left, that have really gotten OG heads, sneaker heads, really talking and really excited. The Undefeated 4s is one of them. You could even put the Tokyo 5s in there. You name it, it has happened. The Mars Yard 3.0 was announced sometime last year, and it was announced in sort of announcing as well that Tom Sachs was coming back to sneakers. More specifically, that Tom Sachs was coming back from allegations that were made about what I would consider workplace inappropriateness or a toxic workplace environment. And Tom Sachs went away for a while. I don't know if he got real attention as it related to being canceled, quote unquote, but he didn't make a shoe for a while. We didn't hear from him for a while. And some of the colorways of the general purpose shoe that was supposed to release just did not release. Now he's back. The Mars Yard 3.0 has released and it had people talking. One of the reasons it had people talking was because in order to get this shoe, you had to go through a series of events or activities that was going to put you on a standings or ranking system. And these were activities that I don't want to say were weird, but they certainly fit in the Tom Sachs mold, and people were doing them because they wanted the Mars Yard 3.0. From what I understand, at the end of all these activities, if you were in a certain place on those standings, you were going to be able to buy the Mars Yard 3.0. There's something to be said about the creativity of this idea, because many times sneakerheads feel like we don't really have realistic ways to get the shoes that we want. At first, it was first come, first serve, and we felt like we didn't really have a fair chance there. And then they went to draws, and then you felt like, okay, there's just so many people. How do I know that it's fair? We're back to first come, first serve in a lot of ways. So this idea adds some creativity to, if you do certain activities, that means that you're really invested in the shoe. And I think the idea is to get resellers out there. Not that resellers couldn't do this, but it's not as if they could go and just use a bot or find a plug that was going to be able to get dozens of these shoes to sell at their resale shop or wherever it is that they want to sell them. And so at the end of all this, people found out whether they were able to get the shoe or not. And then Tom Sachs was on, I think, the Complex Sneaker podcast, which, by the way, ever since Brendan Dunn left, I find it to be completely almost unnecessary at this point. They need to find their rhythm, but I'm not a huge fan. I wasn't really a huge fan before. That's an aside. But he made an appearance on there, and Tom Sachs is just weird, folks. Like, that's not necessarily me hating on him. He's just an odd dude. And so his interview to me was very odd, which I think would be on brand for him. They did ask him about the allegations, and I would say that whoever prepared him for that question did a great job. I'm sure he has PR folks and lawyers and things. I don't want to say he deflected the question, but he certainly didn't answer it directly. He certainly didn't cop to it. He did what I think you do in a situation like that. He went the full PR route, and kudos to him, because that's kind of what you do today, is you try to stay away from even further getting yourself in trouble by talking about something or kind of going off the cuff about it. And that's what he did. But in talking about the Mars Yard 3.0, he announced on that podcast that there was going to be a consolation prize if you did not get the shoe. And what it was called was the General Participation Shoe. The advertising for it was very Tom Sachs, saying loser on it. Essentially, the idea is, did you not get the Mars Yard 3.0? If you were high enough on the standings but did not get that shoe, you were going to have the opportunity to buy this general participation shoe for $120. The general participation shoe looked very similar, if not exact, to the general purpose shoe. I personally loved the general purpose shoe because I think the idea of it was, hey, it's just a sneaker. It's not that big of a deal. They were plain looking, but they still were unique enough that you could style them with many different outfits. I really liked that. So to me, the general participation shoe is a tried and true silhouette that people should like. The issue that I see with this is the fact that many people were going out for the Mars Yard 3.0. The Mars Yard 3.0 has a status to it. The general purpose shoe doesn't have the same status. If you are going through all these hoops to get the Mars Yard 3.0 and you don't get it, that disappointment is going to be there no matter whether you have a consolation prize or not. And I wonder if you went and asked people who were able to get this GPS shoe how they felt about it, they might feel like, I don't care. I want the Mars Yard 3.0. Does just having something by Tom Sachs satiate your need for the Mars Yard 3.0? My guess is the answer is no to that. But again, this shows creativity because it shows that they are willing to do something to make sure that people don't feel like it's all or nothing when it comes to sneakers. If you didn't get the 3.0, it's not, hey, this is all that you get. You have to go to the resale market now. It's, hey, we'll give you an opportunity to have something else. Understandably, that something else probably doesn't feel satisfying. It doesn't feel like something that satiates, again, this need that you have for this hyped shoe. This was an opportunity for a lot of people who maybe weren't around when the 1.0 and 2.0 came out, or don't have the kind of money that you have to pay on the resale market to get them. This was their opportunity. If you come away with the general participation shoe, do you feel like you've won in the end? I would probably say no for what most people were into this shoe for. They were into it to have a Mars Yard so that when they wore it somewhere, people who knew would recognize it. I've never seen a Mars Yard out in public. I've never seen it in the wild. And now with the 3.0, you have the opportunity to do so. To me, it's very similar to the Undefeated 4. There were a lot more Undefeated 4s, but again, the release felt very fair. And now you have the opportunity to wear something that you never had the opportunity to get out in the wild with your friends, to sneaker events, wherever it is that you wear your sneakers, whoever it is that you talk with sneakers about or relate with sneakers about. you had that opportunity to have the undefeated fours. Same thing applies to the Mars Yard 3.0. If you have the GPS shoe, to me, if you're a younger person, it makes me wonder if that is almost going to become the anti-status symbol of the Mars Yard, that you didn't do enough to get the Mars Yard 3.0. It almost feels like it could be divisive. That may be hyperbolic, that may be taking it too far, but these are questions that I have about this. What I will give Tom Sachs credit for is, again, creativity, trying something new, doing something that allows sneaker culture and people who buy these shoes to feel like they have a better chance at getting something for their money. It doesn't always work because, especially with something like the Mars Yard, hype and demand is always going to outpace supply. It just always is. Similar to what I talked about years ago about sneakers app and math, the math is just not in our favor when it comes to shoes that are wanted by so many people. But doing something that makes people feel like they have a little bit more control, I will at least give credit for that, even if the consolation prize doesn't feel as satisfying for many, I would assume, as getting the actual shoe that you're going for. But kudos to Tom Sachs, and kudos to you if you have the Mars Yard 3.0. It was a nice looking shoe to me. I didn't want it enough to jump through all those hoops. Maybe I'm not a real sneakerhead, but if you did it, congrats to you, and I hope that you are enjoying the absolute hell out of that shoe. One more bonus topic before we get to the real topic of the week. At the end of every single year, Jordan Brand releases a Jordan 11. Many times it is a historic model. Some years it's a brand new model. This year, to celebrate 30 years of the Jordan 11, Nike and Jordan Brand did something that on the surface seems like a really cool idea. They announced and are going to release around Black Friday this huge pack of Jordan 11s. On the surface, this seems really cool. What a great way to show homage to a shoe that has really been a staple of the Jordan Brand line for many, many years, 30 years as a matter of fact. The issue is that they took the Jordan 11 and they decided to almost reimagine it in, I think, like 10 different ways with 10 different stories, 10 different themes. And when you see this pack in terms of pictures, what I see is that they've almost made the Jordan 11 cartoonish. I don't feel as if it pays homage to the shoe at all. As a matter of fact, I think that it almost does a disservice to the shoe for younger people by making them look the way that they looked. I'm not going to get on Nike and Jordan Brand for taking a risk. I'm not going to get on them for trying something new. But to me, as far as the pictures are concerned, the execution on these is sorely lacking. And like I said, it makes the Jordan 11 look childish and clownish. I don't like it. I'm not somebody who wears the Jordan 11, but you are fooling yourself if you don't recognize what the Jordan 11 is in the line. I think when it comes to most popular Air Jordans of all time, the Jordan 11 has got to be on the Mount Rushmore. It came out at a time when Michael Jordan was coming back. The hype around him was so huge. Space Jam was coming out. So many factors go into what makes this shoe iconic, and I think it's iconic because it doesn't look like any other Jordan. Certainly ones that came before it, and certainly things that have come after it, the Jordan 11 really stands alone in its aesthetic and its design. What they've done to it and what they plan to release, to me, takes away from that aesthetic completely. And I don't know everything about what sneakerheads want. I don't know everything about what the culture wants. But what I do know from a historical perspective, if you're going to pay true homage to the Jordan 11, release a pack that has some semblance of history in it. Release a pack that has something that people recognize. To once again, I think it's really important. History is not the be-all, end-all of everything in sneakers, but bridging the gap between old and new to me is so very, very important. And it's one thing that I feel like other brands are doing better to an extent. Maybe this is their way of trying to do that. To me, I think it just fails because you still need older people to be buying these shoes, and I feel like they're not going to. The Jordan 11 is kind of on the downturn as far as outfits and as far as what people are willing to wear these days. You hear a lot of people talk about the fact that they love the 11, but they won't ever wear them again. Doing to the 11 what Nike and Jordan Brand is doing in this pack, to me, makes that even worse. Just my opinion. You may like it. I noticed that and wanted to add that as a bonus. But what are we really here to talk about? I think what people really want to know about from me is, Matt, what do you think about Cool Kicks? Okay, so the Cool Kicks situation started, I think, on October 2nd of this year. Now, that seems like a long time ago, but it really hasn't been that long. I think it's been about 11 days as I'm sitting here. The initial reports of what happened was the owner of Cool Kicks, or the founder of Cool Kicks, I don't remember his name, it's not really important anyway, was on a live stream. And during that live stream, the Los Angeles police arrived in the middle of the stream, and they were there because there were reports at the time that Cool Kicks was being looked into for selling counterfeit or fake items. I found out about this on, I think it was Nice Kicks Instagram account, and they reported it as Cool Kicks owner arrested for selling fake items. Something very similar. I'm not going to say that's verbatim, but that's essentially what happened. There has been a lot that's happened since then that we'll get into, but I want to talk about the initial reporting on this. In 2025, and really for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, being right has not been as important as being first. And I'm not accusing Nice Kicks of trying to be first here, but in sneakers, there are two items, in my opinion, that are triggering and polarizing for many people. The first one is resale. Resale is always going to trigger people because there are so many people in the culture who feel like resellers have ruined sneakers. What they have done is capitalize on an opportunity from a capitalistic perspective to go in there and make a profit. It's not resellers' fault that sneakers blew up the way that they did. It's not their fault that people pay the kind of money that they do on the resale market for things. Again, are there some out there that are culture vultures and are really into just making a profit? Yes, of course there are. But many people in the culture who have bought a shoe, don't want it, resell it. Are those people ruining sneakers? No, of course they're not. But reselling is always going to be a trigger. And Cool Kicks being a consignment shop, which traffics in super hyped items, which means super expensive items, that triggers people. When you report on the fact that something like a consignment shop is accused of selling fakes, even more triggering, even more polarizing. I would say that fakes probably trigger people more than resell. But the two go hand in hand because I think many resellers get a bad rap because there are bad actors in reselling that are trying to con people by selling fakes as authentic. I've said it many times on this podcast, I've said it on the YouTube channel, I've said it everywhere, that anybody who tries to sell fakes as real has 100% zero place in the culture. And I know you're gonna say, yeah, but guess what? You wore fakes. I did, I've been very open about that, but it has nothing to do with duping people out of their money by intentionally selling fakes as real. That is gonna trigger people a lot. So the initial reporting on this, saying that that's what the accusation was, already gets people talking. From a social media perspective, that's what you want. You want people to be clicking and you want people to be talking. And again, I'm not saying that Nice Kicks did this on purpose, but it would be difficult for me to believe that they didn't have something like that in mind when they initially reported on this. And to be fair to them, that was the initial reporting. Since then, the police department has released documents and statements about what they actually were doing there. And what they actually were doing there is seizing $500,000 worth of potentially stolen products, shoes, apparel, many other things. This is a completely different situation than selling fakes. Selling stolen items is a completely different rabbit hole. If Cool Kicks was intentionally buying stolen items, which to me seems really weird because you are taking a huge risk by doing that. Now, to be fair, you're taking a huge risk by selling fakes, but stolen goods, depending on where you steal them from, how they're stolen, and your complicit nature in knowing whether they're stolen or not, that comes with it a ton of other problems. I feel like if you're selling counterfeit items, there is a financial loss is going to be had. Your business may shut down, but I would think that there'd be some kind of a settlement that would not include jail time. When you're talking about stolen goods, especially at this level, that kind of money, man, that is not good. Jail time comes with that for sure. And really, whether your business stays open or not is almost trivial in that moment. This story to me is not really about Cool Kicks specifically. I didn't know about them prior to. I really don't care about them after the fact. It's another blip in the radar of, guess what? the sneaker market can be corrupt. It can be corrupt in a lot of different ways. Sneaker content can also be corrupt. I've said before that I don't see myself as an influencer because I think that people need to understand that the people behind these microphones and cameras, these people are human beings. They're flawed human beings. Just because I give you an opinion or state a fact about something in history doesn't mean that I am the all-knowing person that you should be listening to in sneakers. I want you to listen to me because you like my personality, you like the takes that I have, you like the approach that I take to sneaker content, but I always am going to encourage you to listen to other people, go view other people. You should be viewing all different types of content and forming your own opinion about what makes good content, what makes genuine content, what makes authentic content. Those things are important. If Cool Kicks has been selling stolen goods and this was not the first time that this happened, that means that they've been duping a lot of people in many different ways. It doesn't mean that the product was fake or counterfeit, but it was stolen. That means they took away from somebody else. And now they're taking away from other people by selling those items. And on social media, with this huge following that they have, with all the celebrity endorsements that they have, they're also duping those people into thinking that they're something that they're not. I want you to be careful out there. That's the moral of the story. No matter how you spend your money, make sure that you know everything about the transaction that you're about to make. I used to tell people this all the time in the fake world. Be your own advocate. Do your own research. Make sure that you have the knowledge, that you have attained and amassed the knowledge about how you're going to spend your money and what you're going to spend it on. If you're assuming that the human beings on the other side are just in it in good faith or are good actors, don't do that. You're going to find yourself disappointed. And just because somebody has a platform, just because somebody has followers, and just because it seems like they have clout, again, it doesn't make them a good faith actor in any of this. Always be skeptical, always do your own research, and always ask questions. I think that that's okay. I've had people question opinions that I have, disagree with opinions that I have, and guess what? That's part of the gig. I appreciate the people who disagree with what I have to say because I'm not all-knowing. I'm not the last opinion left in sneakers. Nobody is. The collection of opinions, the collection of people in this that all come from different walks of life and all have different viewpoints on sneakers, that's what makes this great. That's what makes sneaker culture what it actually is. The mass consumerism, the reselling, the fakes as authentics, none of that defines sneaker culture. What defines sneaker culture are the human beings. And no matter what happens at Cool Kicks or any other consignment shop like it, whether it's a small shop or a shop at the level of Cool Kicks in terms of popularity, it doesn't matter. It's the people that are behind it. I would treat the owners and workers of Cool Kicks the same way that I would treat any of you if I saw you in person. I would treat you like somebody as a part of this community until you treated me differently. And then I would adjust my actions accordingly. I treat human beings with respect until they prove to me that they don't deserve that respect. And that's just how I'll always operate in this particular space. And so again, when you look at resellers, when you look at consignment shops, when you look at influencers, keep in mind there is a difference between a creator and an influencer. Know the difference. Understand the difference. Be able to point out the difference to yourself. And if you still follow influencers, that's totally cool. Just understand what they're after at the end of the day, what they are hoping for by this content, that your inclusion and your interaction with their content doesn't have the same end game as, say, somebody like me or somebody like Front Page Aaron or even Sneak This Podcast. We like genuine, authentic interaction. Doesn't always have to be agreeable. It just has to be genuine. Sure, there is money that gets thrown around with content creation. But I think a lot of people that you follow, a lot of people that you watch, they're not doing it full time. And if they're doing it full time, they have been working at it forever. And it was built off that genuine authenticity that I talked about. Just always keep that in mind. Those are some of the things that we have missed over the last couple weeks. I've missed all of you. I appreciate the fact that you are still here. We've had new people join, especially in the podcast world. If you are new, welcome. Thank you. I hope that you stick around. And I hope that I can bring more content to you on a more regular basis. Trust me, I'm still here. I'm still okay. My bandwidth and my time is just really thin these days, and I'm trying to make sure that my creative juices go into anything that makes me feel passionate, and I love creating in general. But all of you are my base. This is one of the oldest podcasts that I have, and I'm always going to be back here at the end of the day. I hope this finds you well, fam. I hope this finds you safe, and I'll talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear.